Even when God seems distant, unconcerned, or even absent, He is still at work. He will always respond. May we today, as we hear the story of Esther, that in some ways we can relate to our own story. Good morning. My name is Harbona, and if you could figure out what my title is, maybe in your time I would be considered a male secretary, but to me my official title is Chamberlain to the King. Chamberlain to the King of Persia, Xerxes. Now I have to admit to you that when I was offered the job, I paused. Because when you're that close to the king, if it's a good day, it's a really good day. If it's a bad day, you're in his crosshairs. But I decided to take the job. And Xerxes can be a little off at times. I'll never forget the time when there was 300 ships that were destroyed. And he was so irate, so upset, that he took this strap and he went down to the ocean and he beat the strap 300 times in the ocean, 300 times to get out of his frustration. I'm glad I wasn't the ocean that day. Another time, Xerxes, who got a lot of land and conquered a lot of people, he had a rough go with taking over Greece. Things didn't go so well. And it was a bad day. Whenever Xerxes gets upset, whenever things don't go well, he starts lamenting. And I remember that day when he lamented. I heard him saying, "Oh Vashti, oh Vashti, what did I do?" Now, Vashti was the queen, but through some circumstances, she was no longer the queen. And I could hear him in his own room lamenting that moment. And I thought, as a chamberlain, as one who was close to the king, he was down. What am I going to do? How can I help him? And I thought, I know, women. Lots of women. And so I came up with an idea. And I thought, what if we'd have a beauty contest and bring all of the beautiful women from all of the kingdoms together and find out who might be the next queen? I floated the idea with King Xerxes, and he seemed to kind of perk up a little bit, and he thought that was a really good idea. And so all of these women came in, and they had a lot of prep time and a lot of things that happened before they would go before the king. And as they paraded before the king and things were happening, there was one woman that caught his eye different than any other of the women. In fact, he looked once, he looked twice. He started talking with her, asking her questions. And it became pretty clear to me, though the contest wasn't over, who the winner was going to be. It was going to be this gal named Esther. And so Esther became the queen. And I have to tell you, as a chamberlain to the king and through rough times, these next 5 years were wonderful. Wonderful. He wasn't so up and down, and I thought this is a pretty good gig now. Good job for me. And so things went pretty well for about 5 years. And then one day this gentleman, okay, let me be more specific. This guy named Haman came in. Now personally, this is just me personally, I didn't like the guy. He was one of those guys that had a silver tongue. And yet I wouldn't trust him as far as anything. But he came in and he came into the king, in the king's court, and he asked the king, he said, "King, we have a little situation. There is this particular little group that has some disruptive things going on in our kingdom. Excuse me, sir, in your kingdom. And there were some other things going on, and they have these peculiar laws and everything, and it's just, I have a feeling it's like something's not good. So I would like to have us do a decree that we would wipe out this small little group. And I'll tell you what, I know it costs money to do that, so I'll tell you what, I'm going to use my own resources to handle this problem. Well, the king, I don't know, his mind was going other places that day. He didn't ask many questions. He didn't ask to investigate. He just sort of said, oh, okay, that sounds like a great idea, but hey, Haman, you're a good man. You don't need to use your money. It's okay. Now, I have to tell you, I was suspicious again from that moment because I know Haman, and when he got a gold coin in his hand, he didn't let it go very easily. So I knew something was up. I was like, what is going on? Well, when you're the chamberlain to the king, you have resources, you know? You have people that you can talk to. So I knew that, I knew one of Haman's sons had a teacher, and he and I were pretty good friends. And so I went to him one day, and I asked him, I said, hey, what's going on? There seems like something's happening. I don't understand this whole decree and this. And this teacher said, well, he understands that one day Haman got really upset. He got mad because one of these citizen council people, one of these reps, did not bow when he walked into the room. Now, let me just explain. In our time, we had this citizens council, and we had one representative from every ethnic racial group in the area. And they would come in, and they would gather together, and they would take care of the minor cases, not something that reached the level of the king. And so they would meet together and come up with different things and agree on things. And Haman, who was a rising star in the kingdom, he liked going to those councils. You know why he liked going there? Because he liked to walk into that place, and he liked to watch everyone stand up and then bow before him. But one of those reps, the Jewish rep, did not bow before Haman, and he was not a happy camper. And so he said, okay, is that what's going on? So this decree was made. Well, the other day, a day or two later, I was up on the second floor of the palace, and I was just kind of walking around because things had been going pretty well. And I heard this commotion down in the courtyard. I'm like, what is going on? This loud noise. So I peered over down in the courtyard, and there in the courtyard was this guy who had his hair was disheveled, and he had this black stuff on his face, and his clothes were tore up, and he's screaming and saying different things. And I'm like, we got to get rid of that guy. He is really causing a commotion. So I was ready to go down and take care of that. As I was walking down the hallway, I ran into Hathach, which is the queen's attendant. And Hathach had some clothes in his hand, and I said, Hathach, what are you doing with those clothes? He says, well, I'm taking it down to that guy down in the courtyard. The queen wants me to give him some clothes. I'm like, what does the queen care about him? But he did. And I was walking around, just kept enjoying the day. It was beautiful out. And then maybe like 5 or 10 minutes later, here comes Hathach back up again. And he still had the clothes in his hands. And I said, Hathach, jokingly said, oh, wasn't it the right size for him? He said, no. He says, this guy wants me to give the queen this letter. Well, let's see what the letter is. And we open up the letter, and we open it up. It was a copy of the decree that came from Haman. And I'm like, what's it matter? I mean, who cares about the queen needs to know this or whatever? It doesn't make any sense to me. But Hathach, being a good attendant, he went and he gave it to the queen. Well, I remember it was right before dinner time. And I was walking around, and Hathach came to me. And Hathach came up and he says, Harbona, Harbona, you're never going to believe this. So what's up? He goes, the queen is Jewish. Sorry, but I laughed a little bit. I'm like, well, I didn't think she looked Persian to me, but I'm whatever. And I'm like, really? Yes, she's Jewish. And that Jewish guy that was down the courtyard, that's her uncle. Whoa, what? So, yeah, and the queen is all upset and everything because of this decree. It could affect her and affect her uncle and all of her people. And Mordecai wants her to go talk to the king. But Queen Esther, she had a problem. The king had not called for her for over a month. And you don't just walk into the king and say, hey, king, this is what I do, because that could be dangerous. If he's having a bad day, well, it's not good. So she was trying to figure out what to do. What is the queen going to do? What is she going to have? And she struggled with that. And Hathach said that, you know, she's struggling what to do. But she decided she has to tell the king. And so she thought about it and she walked around and she paced day after day for a while trying to figure out what to do. And didn't know what to do. She kept thinking about it. And as she thought, she says, all right, I'm going to do it. And I'll never forget that scene. It was one of those days where the king holds court. And to the side, and I was standing over here, and the king is there, and he's holding court. And there's a side door, and all at once I heard a creaking noise, and the door opened, and there was Queen Esther, uninvited, stood there. And there was a pregnant pause, waiting to see what would happen. If the king raises a golden scepter, it was all clear. But if he didn't, it was not good news for the queen. She walked in and he raised the gold scepter. And the king says, Queen Esther, what is it I can do for you? What is on your heart? Please tell me, anything you want will be given to you. And I thought to myself, well, here we go. This is it. This is what's going to happen. She's going to spill right here. But to my surprise, she didn't. She says, oh, king, I will tell you, but first I'd like to invite you to lunch tomorrow. You and Haman to lunch. The king says, oh, okay, but then will you tell me? Yes, I'll tell you. Okay. So they went and they had lunch together. And as they were talking, and all at once the king said, again, Queen Esther, what is on your mind? I can tell something is bothering you. Please tell me. She goes, well, if it pleases the king, I would like to invite you tomorrow again for lunch. You and Haman. Now, a lot of things happened between the first lunch and the second lunch. One of the things that happened, there was two things, was Haman was just feeling his oats. Is that an expression? Feeling his oats, and he was feeling good about things, and he was like, wow, I am in now eating with royalty. I know I'm going to be the number two in the kingdom. It's just a matter of time before that happens. And so Haman went and threw a party with his family and friends, and he puffed out his chest, and he told about how he's going to be the next second in command and how he eats with royalty every day now and everything. He's kind of these people that puff stories. And when he was done with that, done with the party, he wanted another shot of, like, feel-good moment. So he went back to the citizens' council again, back to that room where they were holding court. And he walked in again because he feels his oats. He's feeling good. And all of the representatives down through stood up and bowed before him, except the Jewish rep. Haman was literally seething. He called a few of his friends together. He said, you know what? We need to do something. I know that I did a decree back earlier about to annihilate and destroy and kill all of the Jews. And on December 13th, that will happen. They had 10 or 11 months before that decree would go down. But Haman said to his buddies, I can't wait any longer. We got to do something to the Jewish rep. All we needed to do was just ask permission with the king. Well, a second thing happened. Before the second lunch, it was nighttime. And the king went to bed. And he had insomnia. He was tossing and turning, I guess. And all at once, around 2:30 in the morning, I hear these words, Harbona, Harbona. And I'm like, I'm in deep sleep. And I'm like, wow. Am I dreaming? What's going on? I heard it again. Harbona, Harbona. I'm like, yes, king. Please come here. So I ran over. I'm still half asleep. And he says, Harbona, I can't sleep. I got insomnia. I can't sleep. I would like you to read to me. Okay. All right. It's part of the job description. So I said, what do you want me to read? I thought, well, hey, do you want me to get out some of your memoirs of your reign and some of the things we could read about that? That sounds like a great idea. Well, king, when do you want me to pull those out? 6 months ago, a year or two or three? Pull one of those volumes out for like 2 years ago. Okay. So I pulled it out and I started reading to the king in the middle of the night some of his memoirs. And I came to this paragraph where it talked, I didn't remember this myself, but talked about where the Jewish rep, Mordecai, had overheard something about a plot to kill the king. And this Jewish rep, Mordecai, went and told the queen, and the queen told the king, and they took care of that the plot did not happen. As I was reading that, the king said, hey, hold on, Harbona. Would you read that paragraph again? I'm like, yes, okay. So I read it again about what happened. And he says, hey, look in the memoirs. Are there anything in there about that we rewarded him or helped him anyways? Well, let me look. And so I opened this thing up and I started looking and I'm like, let me see, hold on, I keep looking. Come on. No, I don't see anything. Well, that's not right. We need to do something to reward this guy. What's his name again? Mordicky? No, king, it's Mordecai. Okay, so he says, okay, we need to do something. Now, it's still early in the morning, and he says, is there any attendants around? Well, I had heard that Haman was outside, and I said, well, I believe Haman's outside. Well, bring him in. Well, now, Haman was so excited because the king is calling him in at just the right time where Haman can come in and say, hey, this is what I want to do to this Jewish rep. And before he could put out the words to the king says, here's what I want you to do. I got a question for you, Haman. Haman says, he was kind of just messed up. He's like, I'm on this thought. Okay, what do you want? I want to reward someone in the kingdom, someone who has made a wonderful impact. Haman is just like, his grin was like, as far as the east is from the west. I mean, his grin, he's trying to contain his excitement. His chest is up. He's starting to feel really good. He's like, this is my moment. This is it. But he tried to keep it subdued, but I could see right through it. And so Haman came up with this idea. He said, well, king, if it pleases you that you should reward someone in the kingdom, I think you ought to put a crown on his head. I think you ought to get some of the royal garments and put it around him. And then I think you ought to put him on one of the best horses. And I think you ought to parade him around the square. And King Xerxes says, that's a great idea. I don't know if this actually happened, but I thought I saw Haman just getting ready to turn to head out to be crowned. But before that happened, King says, okay, Haman, this is what I want you to do. And Haman's like, yes, what? This is what I want you to do. I want you to do that to the Jewish rep, Mordecai. Well, there's a few scenes in life that you never forget. That was one of them. I've never seen a guy go from red to white in a nanosecond. He was pale. He's like, what? I want you to do this for Mordecai. It was funny. I shouldn't laugh, but it was really funny to watch this happen. And so Haman went out, and he did what was doing. He took Mordecai, and he gave him a crown, and he put some royal things on him, and he put him on a horse, and he paraded him around the square. This was in the morning. Haman was beside himself. He could not believe what was happening. And then it became time for lunch again. And so there he was at lunch with the queen and the king and himself. This time the lunch was going on, they were eating and everything, and the king says, Queen Esther, my darling, I can tell you're bothered by something. Please tell me what it is. Please, 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 please tell me. I could see the emotion coming up from the queen. I could see all this coming up, and all at once she just blurted it out. And crying kind of like, oh, king, save me and save my people. There's people that want to kill and destroy and annihilate our people. And each time she said that, it was like a slap on the face of Haman. Boom, boom, boom. And the king was just totally, he didn't get this. He's like, what are you talking about? Whoever did this, let me know, and I will take care of it. And the queen, as she's sitting around that table, she pointed to Haman and says, Haman is the one that did it. I never saw the king as mad as he was at that moment. He was so mad, he couldn't even control his emotions. He got up out of his chair, pushed the chair out, and walked out of the room out to the balcony. And he's out there trying to cool down. Meanwhile, you should have seen this spectacle. Haman is crawling, pushing the tears away, going over to Esther and saying, Esther, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. Esther was not hearing anything of it, and she started pulling away, and Haman starts grabbing her robe and doing this, and there's a little bit of a tussle, and all at once, the queen slipped, and Haman falls on top of her just as the king is coming back into the room. What he saw was more than we can say today. He would misconstrue what was happening. And he came over and he took Haman, he pulled him off, and he says, attendants, Haman, cover his face. Give him the death veil. And so the guys came in. Now I have to tell you, throughout this whole thing, I've not said a lot. I've kind of just stood back and watched things happen. And I said not, but something compelled me at that moment. I think it was maybe my efficiency thing that I have in my life. I like to keep things simple. And so when it was told that Haman was going to be put to death, I said, "Oh, king, I have an idea. Haman has a really beautiful tree in his backyard that is set up beautifully for a hanging, and he worked really hard for that. And I'm thinking now that was intended for Mordecai. I'm thinking that's kind of a waste. So maybe, just maybe, king, if it pleases you, we could use that to hang Haman in his own backyard." The king says, "Let it be." But there's still one other issue. One other issue that still was important. When that decree was signed by the king, even though he didn't know exactly what was happening to kill and destroy all the Jews, that decree could not be taken away. It's not like you can just erase it. It could never be taken away. And so the king made a new decree. And that new decree was to care for and support the Jewish people. That if anyone came up against them, that they would have all the resources they need to defend themselves. Well, there I was again, on the second floor of the palace, kind of reminiscing about what had all transpired. I thought about all these coincidences that happen. I mean, all these things, just these chain of events, these coincidences that happen, just unbelievable. You couldn't even write a book about it. And I started thinking about all these coincidences that Esther was appointed the queen out of all the people in the kingdom. What a coincidence. A coincidence is that Mordecai was the one that heard about the plot and then told the queen, who in turn told the king. What a coincidence, unbelievable coincidences, that the king on that certain night had insomnia. And what a coincidence, it's an amazing coincidence that I pulled out that one volume that had that one paragraph in about Mordecai. What a coincidence. As I stood there on that second floor and I thought about that, I looked over to my left and I see Haman's house. And I see Haman hanging from the gallows in his own backyard. And I hear the noise and the music and the dancing in the streets of the Jews. And I thought to myself, I said, "Boy, those Jews, they really are lucky."